we're doing a series called You Asked For It. How many of you, when you grew up, did your parents ever tell you you're asking for it? It kind of has a different connotation to me sometimes. I'm just thinking about it. But it was questions that you guys posed to us. And it's amazing because when you read the Bible, Jesus did that very thing. They'd ask him a question and then he would respond and he would do a teaching off of it many times. And one of the questions they asked, his disciples asked him, is the same question that you guys asked. And that was one day when they're walking along, the disciples asked Jesus this question: how do I deal with difficult people? Come on, somebody. In fact, Peter put it this way. He said, how many times will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Well, that's dealing with difficult people. And one of the questions you guys ask, and you ask it in all different ways, shapes, and forms, but we kind of condensed it down into this idea. How do I deal with difficult people? Anybody have a difficult person in your life? Anybody sitting beside? No, I kind of. How many? We all deal with difficult people. And the amazing thing is, how many of you have ever been the difficult person at times? All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's read our verse. I'll let you sit down in just a second. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant argument. Anybody been in a foolish argument this week? Do not get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments. It only starts fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, be able to pay. Yesterday, I got into a 2-hour deal with a Catholic theologian. And I'm going to tell you that was, I wish I'd have taped it. The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be kind to everyone, be able to teach and be patient with what? With difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. So we want to talk to you today about, in verse 24, it says this, you must be patient with difficult people. So I want to talk to you today about dealing with difficult people. Let's pray. Father, we love you with all of our hearts. And if we're wrong, we want to be right. Lord, we don't want to stay wrong. And so, Lord, I just pray that this morning, would you open our hearts and eyes and our minds to know the word of God? We love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, everybody said a good amen. 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 You can be seated today. Dealing with difficult people. And let's unpack that this morning a little bit. And there's people in our lives that seem on a mission just to make us miserable. And they're just difficult. All of you that's in a service, some sort of service industry, you have to deal with people. If you're running a business, or if you're in a restaurant and you're a waiter or a waitress, or if you're just answering the phone, some of you are dealing with, you're in that problem area of your company where you have to, deal with all that. You know, you just run into difficult people sometimes. There's just some people you just say, you know, okay, I'm glad I'm not married to them. Come on, somebody. I'm just difficult people. And so there's people in our lives that literally try to almost make us crazy at times. And 2 Timothy 2, it says that Paul is talking to Timothy, and I'm so glad that God knows where we live, because he says, this is the Spirit of God talking, and the Spirit of God says, you've got to learn how to deal with difficult people. And I'm glad that God knows that's real life. I love this little saying that used to say, to dwell above with the saints we love, that will be such glory. But to live below with the saints we know, well, that's a different story. Difficult people, day in, day out. Max Lucado said, some people have been called to be missionaries of misery. One of the biggest helps in dealing, though, with difficult people, I think, is to begin to understand them. Now, that may seem impossible to you at times, but what makes them so difficult? And I believe it's half the battle when you understand why some people are like they are. And it helps you understand. Romans 3:23 says it this way: for everyone has sinned and all fall short of God's glorious standard. That means we can all be difficult at times. Get up on the wrong side of the bed that day, and you just, you know, you're the difficult person that day. And you may know this, but you, as I said, you may be the difficult one. So we live in a fallen world. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The devil hates relationships. And one of the reasons the devil uses this is to try to divide us from each other. And one of the keys you have to learn is you just make a point. They may divide against you, but don't divide against them. Keep your heart pure, and we'll talk about it in just a moment, because we do life together. And Jesus dealt with so many types of people, and he never got caught up in the games that people play. But let me give you a list of difficult people, and you may have a few of these in your life. I just thought I'd list them, a few of them this morning. And let me just give them to you, and then see if you've got one of these in your life, and you're going to be dealing with them this week. The hammer. This is a person that's aggressive, harsh, hostile. It's you're wrong and I'm right. And that's in the conversation. So much of they express themselves is through intimidation. And they just intimidate you. You may have a boss. You may have a coworker. You may have a fellow student. You may have a neighbor. Second one is the megaphone. That's the person that just talks on and on and on. There was a person that Jasmine and I dealt with, and this person just argues and argues and argues until you give up. All right, you're right, I'm wrong. Just stop talking, you know. Megaphone. Third one is the bubble buster. It's all bad. You know, no matter what you say, didn't we have a nice T-ball game yesterday? Did you see little Johnny, you know, he just ran around. Yeah, but did you see what he did when he's on third base? Well, man, you know, my job is, it's great. Yeah, but did you hear about the economy? What's going to happen? Always busting bubbles. The fourth one is the volcano. This is the person that just erupts. You know, that you don't know, you didn't know, you don't know about them. You don't know what you said wrong, but next thing you know, they're just erupting. And the volcano person just spews scorching hot lava language everywhere. Just singes everybody, you know, everywhere around. They had the correspondence. You read that? The White House correspondence dinner? And even the liberal got, they had some comedian that took 20, 30 minutes to have some lady. And even the liberal media was scorching her. She must have gone too far. That happened, I think, last night. Fifth one is a space cadet. Anybody got a space cadet in your life? They're not there and they don't even know they're not there. You know, they just talk. You're in a meeting. You ever been in a meeting with a space cadet and you've gone through the whole list of things. You're about to wrap it up and then they act like you never even talked about what you talked about to start with. I had that the other day. It was really encouraging. Sixth one is the clam. They're great at the silent treat. They manipulate you by pushing the mute button. They just clam up. The nitpicker. Anybody have a nitpicker in your life? They just hone in on one little thing in your life and just nitpick. I call this nitpicker / bulldog. They just go at that one thing. They don't like it. They, you know, they're highly critical, pointing out your mistakes. Number eight is the crybaby, the chronic whiner, always complaining. They complain to control. The ninth one is the user. That's the person that's very toxic. That's the person that'll only use you. They're just you, only time they ever get in contact with you, they're going to use you. The tenth one is the garbage collector. Type of difficult person always rehearses and replays all the hurts and the problems of their life. They're going to tell you who did what to them. They're going to try to get around them. You know, they gather it all up and they haul it into the next conversation. And they keep hauling into the next conversation. And they haul it into the next conversation. And they haul it into the next conversation. Well, you don't remember back in 65 you drank that last RC Cola. And I'm still mad about it today. There are different types of difficult people. With each of these different types, I get to choose how I'm going to respond. To the hammer, to the clam, to the volcano, to the manipulator. I get to choose how I'm going to respond to that person. And in a day, you may meet about half of these kind of people in a day's time. And you get to choose how you're going to deal with it. Because if you allow it to get under your skin, you're going to have a horrible life to live. And one of the things is because many of these people see life totally different. We had a meeting last week at Mount Zion First Baptist Church downtown. And I was really educated. I mean, we really had a good meeting and amongst pastors and talking through things and learning things. And sometimes you need to see life through somebody else's eyes rather than just your own. And it really makes a difference in your eyes. And let me say, one of the keys about this is people, difficult people, they have lenses. Many of them have lenses they look at life through. And it's not that they're being dishonest. It's just they believe what they really believe. Many of them, I won't say everybody, but a lot of them believe what they're doing or saying. And you ever met anybody that has a great ability to rewrite history? We used to have elders meetings. I'll be back in the 70s. I remember forget this. We have elders meetings, and we had to finally stop doing this because we had one guy that would take all the notes. Well, the next month when we have the next meeting, we'd look at the notes, and that wasn't anything we talked about nor agreed on. It's all what he wanted and said, da, da, da. And so let me give you some lenses that difficult people look through. The first one is the magnifying lens. That is everything is magnified. You ever anybody make a mountain out of a molehill in your life? What's the big, they look through life with a magnifying glass and everything is magnified. The second one is the layer lens. I call this the lens of, that is they look through life through layers. You ever dealt with somebody and you thought you were finished and they said, okay, I'm glad we're not done. We got a lot more to deal with. Layer one layer of offense after another layer of offense. And the last one is I think we all struggle with this one, the me, myself, and I lens. I was starting to bring a big mirror up here and say, some people, everything is about them. You ever gone through a big something and then somebody's mad at you because of your experience, you're dealing with all this and somebody, everything is about them. And so that is one. So the different types of different people and they see through certain lenses. So what do we do? What are my choices? How do I deal with these people that I'm going to deal with, that I'm going to meet in this coming week? How am I going to deal with all these people I'm going to meet? They're going to come to the counter. I'm going to go to their place. They're going to come in our business. I'm going to meet them at school. I'm going to walk down the neighborhood. It's going to be the next door or down the street. How will I deal with the difficult person that I'm going to meet? Because Paul said that by the Spirit of God. He told Timothy, you're going to have difficult people in your life. So let me tell you three things you can do. One is you can choose to curse it. Monday morning, tomorrow morning, when you're doing whatever you're doing, you can live angry, get on their level, you're in a good mood. Tomorrow, let's say you're just whistling, you're loving God, what a great service, what a great preacher it was yesterday, and you're going to work, and the next thing you know, that first co-employee that you meet just starts and just erupts on you. Say you meet the Mr. Volcano and just erupts on you. You have a choice. You can curse it by entering into that same thing. You can get mad. You're having a good day until you met this person, either by words or actions, and you can choose to curse it. You can get in the gutter with them. Oh, yeah. You could be driving to work tomorrow morning and somebody cuts you off. Oh, yeah. You're going to cut me off. I'll show you. And next thing you know, you look down, you're doing 80 miles an hour trying to catch them down the interstate. So you choose. Number two is you can curse or you can nurse it. And that is, this is where you interact with a difficult person and you take it with you. Take it with you the rest of the day. You get mad. You got mad on the interstate. You got mad going to work tomorrow. And the rest of the day, you're upset and you're mad and you bring it home mad or you come home. And you can nurse that thing and just think about it and nurse it. Or you can reverse. Everybody say reverse it. I started to do one of those rap songs, but I decided not to try it. Since I'm white as white can be, you know, with blue eyes, it would not work. Now, the Bible says this. Look at Isaiah 43. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. And for I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. God says, the former things forget. Forget what's happened. One of the keys is the older you get, the easier that verse is to obey. All right. That's what I've learned. But the Bible says, forget the things which are behind. And, you ought to write now. There are a few things I tell you ought to write down. You ought to write this down. Watch this. Go to my next screen. I got a saying up there. You don't have it. Those who created yesterday's pain do not control tomorrow's potential. Those who created yesterday's pain do not control tomorrow's potential. Those that created yesterday's pains do not control tomorrow's potential. I love this one. Good, the next one. Injustice is only as powerful as your memory of it. What'd you do to me? I don't remember that. You ever had anybody come up and ask you forgiveness and you don't even remember what it was? I accept it. Thank you and bless you. But I don't even remember it. See, listen, injustice is only as powerful as your memory of it. If you don't even remember it, man, it has no effect on you. If you just kind of let it, forget the former things, forget what is behind. When you do that, listen, injustice is only as powerful as your memory of it. And you let it go and let it go. Therefore, remember not the former things, Isaiah says. And we make these choices when we deal with difficult people. And so let's talk about the remainder of our service. Let's talk about the biblical response to difficult people. When you meet them this week, let me give you the biblical response, what the Bible says you are to do. And number one is, realize you cannot please everybody. And you've got to really believe that. You've got to really, really believe that. You will not please everybody this week. You cannot please everybody. There's a big one for the really, you know, finally believe. You cannot please everyone. Romans 12 and 18 says it. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, that's out of the counter. Live at peace with everyone. Now listen to what Paul says. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I don't know about you, but when the volcano starts erupting its angry lava at you, you have a decision to make. You can either, as far as it depends on you, smile at them. You know, or get in the ditch. All right, let's do this. So go to Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And that's not the right one. It's supposed to be 1:10. I must have wrote that down wrong. Can you pull up Galatians 1:10? That's a good scripture. I like it. You know, it's really good. Maybe get up Galatians 1:10. They're really good back there in the back. Wally's retired, so I know you're getting a little slow, Wally, but I mean, you're doing better. And Galatians 1:10, Paul speaks about something. We'll find out in just a minute what he spoke about. We're coming up. There we are. Okay. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Listen, you cannot please everybody. You will not, Paul said, if I was trying to please people, I could not be a servant of Jesus Christ. Sometimes you got to make up your mind, I'm going to please God. Come on, somebody. I'm going to please God. I can't please everybody. I can't be a man pleaser and please everybody. I'm going to please God. And look at John chapter 5 and verse 30. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but to him who sent me. Listen to this. Become a God pleaser. This week, just decide in your life you're going to be a God pleaser. You cannot please everybody. A God pleaser. When I first started preaching here many, many years ago, I tried to please. You cannot please everybody. Somebody's not going to like what you do this week. Somebody's not going to agree with you. Somebody's not going to think you should have done it differently. You cannot please everybody. I love what Acts 13 and 36 David said it this way. This is not a reference to David, for after David had done the will of God in his own generation, he died. Listen to this. After David had done the will, you know what David decided in his life? He was going to do what God told him to do. He was going to please God. He was going to do the will of God for his generation. So one of them was, realize you cannot please everybody. Number two, refuse to play the game. Refuse to play the game. If somebody can make you mad, and I've always said this, nobody can make you mad. You already got that up in you. You prepare yourself, refuse to play the game. In John chapter 2 and verse 24, Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. Did you know it's okay not to trust some people? Jesus didn't trust them because he knew about people. And he never got pulled into the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the rulers, their games. He never got pulled into their game, the hurt, the tension, the hostility. He never got involved. He refused to play their game. And this can happen at a workplace. It can happen at a school. It can happen wherever. You can be on the internet. And you can be on either FaceTime, you know, or Facebook or Snapchat. You can be, whatever, just one of the media outlets. And somebody make a comment. And you go, oh yeah! You want a comment? I'll give you a comment. And you pump, pump, pump. Next thing you know, you shot 8 comments back on shoot, 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 shoot. And you got pulled right into their stuff. You want to, I mean, on and on. And then all of a sudden, the hook has been set. and you're involved in it, and your pulse is racing, and your heartbeat is elevated, and you're angry, and you're mad, and on and on. I'm going to guarantee you in the morning when you're on your way to work, someone is not going to drive like you think they ought to drive. And you can either decide you're going to be, I was with a leader one time, this is true. You ever been in one of those lines where, they got traffic stopped, you're in two lines, but there's a passing lane, there's this, on ramp over here. And somebody pulls out in that on ramp to, get up about 20 cars, get back in. I had a buddy of mine, he always says, when that happens, he just pulls his vehicle over that lane halfway just to block those cars. A lot of elbows going on right now. A lot of elbows. Number three, you can rise above it. You can rise. Listen, I think of the greatest things that we can do biblically is say, I'm pleasing God. I'm not playing the game, but then I'm going to rise above it. Isaiah 40 says it this way. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall walk, not be weary. They will walk and not faint. They will mount up with wings like eagles. And that is, listen, rise above it. In the morning, just be, see, one of the keys is, the reason Jesus could endure Calvary was because he had a Gethsemane. He, in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed through 3 hours, and he prayed it through, he said, not my will, but thine be done. And on the cross, when they shouted, save yourself, save yourself. I said, it's too late, guys. He'd already won that battle at Calvary, at Gethsemane. He'd already won that battle. He'd already submitted himself for 3 hours. Not my will, but thine be done. He was going to obey. He was on the cross. He was obeying God. Listen, if you wait till tomorrow morning on that highway to start seeking God, you're in trouble. You ought to get up a little early, get yourself ready. And when you come on that highway and that knucklehead, does whatever they do and flash, some sign at you, whatever they might do. You've already won that battle. If you wait till you're on the road to win the battle, you ain't going to win the battle. Come on, all you Presbyterians, say amen this morning, all right? Forgiveness, let me tell you this way, to rise above it, forgiveness is a big idea. And forgiveness is for big people. Let me just say it that way. Forgiveness, it isn't for little people. Forgiveness is for big people. It's a big idea. Forgiveness is for people who see the big picture. Instead of being narrowed in. Abundant, listen, they think like eagles. I always say this. How many of you raise chickens in your life? How many of you raise chickens? Well, a few of you are good country people. I raise chickens a lot of my life, and one of the things about chickens is, you're in chicken, they're bobbing. Well, guess what chickens do? Chickens will eat anything on the ground. Anything you put on the ground, a chicken will eat. It'll even eat its own feces. Isn't this deep this morning? Isn't this granted? I won't go and tell you what feces, if you don't know what a feces is. They will eat anything on the ground. And a chicken will eat what it should have excreted and left excreted. But a chicken will re-eat it. That's why you'll never see a chicken flying with an eagle. Come on, somebody. Chickens eat off the ground. Think about lunch today. Just keep thinking about lunch today. A feces is what you should have released. My wife is saying, go on the next one. But when you have a diet like that, you can flap all you want to flap, but you ain't getting up and flying like an eagle. When you eat that which you should excrete, you should get rid of. When you re-eat that, you ain't flying like no eagle. You're out with the chickens and you ain't getting out of the chicken coop as long as you've got your head bobbing and you're eating stuff like that. If you eat like a chicken, you cannot fly like an eagle. You ought to put that in your notes somewhere. That should have been in the Bible somewhere, but it wasn't yet. All right. All right, unforgiveness is keeping you in the chicken coop and when God's calling you to the heavens. And this week, when you're sitting there, either walking up to that door, bringing that doorbell, knowing what's about to happen, when you're picking up the telephone and you hear the tone of the voice and you know what it's going to be, this conversation, when you're walking next door, the doorbell rings, or you name your situation this coming week, you can decide, am I going to re-eat this or I'm going to fly like an eagle into heavens. And you begin to say, you're going to rise above it. Then number four is never retaliate. Never retaliate. 1 Peter 3:9 says it this way. Don't repay a hard word for a hard word, an insult for an insult, a demeaning comment with a demeaning comment, a mean look with another mean look. It says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insult. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you this week. Instead, pay them back. And a lot of people wish you'd just stopped right there. That was the end of it. Just pay them back. With a what? And guess what? That word blessing is where we get our word eulogy. You ever been to a funeral and you heard people talking about somebody and think, who are they talking about? Sure ain't the person in the casket. And the Bible says, listen, the Bible says, when they insult you, eulogize them. Talk good about them. Oh yeah, did I ever tell you, that's a pretty outfit you got on today. Oh yeah, did I ever tell you, you know what, you're good looking. I ain't looking because I'm already tooken. Come on somebody, I'm just saying that. Instead, pay them back with a eulogy. Pay them back with compliments. Pay them back. This is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessing. So eulogize them. Instead of paying them back, pay them back with a blessing. And no matter what you're thinking inside, how many know sometimes you gotta do it whether you feel like it or not? All right? We do this in our marriages. I just want you to know, every time Jasmine's mean to me, I'm sweet to her. I just want you to know, every time she is mean to me. Everybody say, don't retaliate. Don't retaliate. In your marriages, don't retaliate. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. And so don't retaliate. Oh yeah, my mama. I'll tell you when they talk about your mama. Oh yeah, oh yeah, we're going to talk about my dad. Let's talk about your dad. And we go on and on and on. We can retaliate. But rise, if anybody could have retaliated, it was Jesus. When he was on the cross and the things they said to him, he said, Lord, forgive them. Lord, it was a repetitive verb. He said it over and over and over again. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 33, he said this, do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and He will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? You want to get in the ditch where they are? You want me to retaliate? You don't think I can retaliate? You don't think that I could stop all this stuff? I could ask my Father and He would release 12 legion of angels right now on my behalf. You know, a legion was 6,000 in the Roman army. 12 legions is 72,000 people. Do the math on this. 12 legion is 72,000 angels. And look at Isaiah 37. Let me show you what one angel did. That night, the angel Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed how many? One angel killed 185,000. How many people can 72,000 angels kill? I did the math. Over 13 billion. If Jesus wanted to, you talk about retaliate, He gonna wipe out not only the planet Earth, He gonna wipe out the cosmos, He gonna wipe out the Milky Way galaxy, and all the galaxies close to here. If He wanted to retaliate. And we think we ought to retaliate. We think we ought to. They have no right to say what they're. They have no right to do. They have no. Listen, you got to listen. Jesus didn't retaliate, and I'm gonna tell you, you can't ask God to help you retaliate. That's one of the worst prayers you ever pray. You know, Matthew 5:7 says it this way: God blesses those who are merciful. Now leave that up. I want to show you, for they will be shown mercy. Now let me tell you what this is. Justice is the friend of the innocent. Let me say it that way. Justice is the friend of the innocent. Let's say that I came out there and I said, you stole my car. I came out to you and I said, you stole my, I'm suing you. You stole my car. Well, do you know what? And you did not steal my car. Do you know what comes up in you? Well, I need justice. I didn't do that. I'm innocent. You call for justice. When do you call for mercy? You call for mercy is if I accused you of stealing my car and you stole it. You don't call for justice. You call for mercy. See, mercy is the friend of the guilty. Justice is a friend of the innocent. But mercy is the friend of the guilty. And so when the Lord uses this, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown. Why would you be shown mercy? He didn't say, for God will show them justice. Well, justice is a friend of the innocent. But the reason he put that in there is because there will come times in your life when you need mercy. You know, this is the very beginning of your walk with God. You had to have mercy. You said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm guilty. God, I'm guilty. And so the most silliest thing you can ever say is, I'm not going to forgive them because they're guilty. I'm not going to show mercy this week to that difficult person because they don't deserve mercy. And how can you not give what God has given to you? And so the silliness of thinking they don't deserve mercy. Look how mean they are and what they're doing and how dishonest and all this. Listen, that's the very definition of mercy. Is they don't deserve it. They are wrong. They are guilty. Their attitude's not correct. Their opinion's not correct. Their action is not correct. That has nothing to do with you giving out mercy and being merciful this week. Matthew said, blessed are those that are merciful. God releases mercy when you are guilty. How can you receive it and refuse to, how can you receive it and refuse to give it? All right, number five is release them. There are some people that you just can't fix. You can try to fix them, but you can't fix them. You remember Jonah on the boat? Your boat's going down and I got a whole sermon. You remember that? Throw Jonah from the boat. There are some people you need to release. And listen, you realize if you get in the ditch of anger with them, you may block their road to God. You're a Christian. You talk like that. I remember when I was so totally innocent and we were driving in the car with Jasmine and she said, I just wish the church could see you now. I just wish the church could see you now. Anybody else ever that been said to you before? I just wish the church could see you now. And so sometimes you just got to release them. Look what 1 Peter 2 says. He says this: it is God's will that your honorable life should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slave. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Respect the king. You who are slaves must submit to your masters with all respect. Do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are cruel. For God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure difficult people. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you're beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He did not retaliate when he was insulted. He did not retaliate. Some people, listen, you just got to leave them in God's. God forgive them. They know not what God forgive them. They know not. They know exactly what they're doing. They don't really know. They're blinded. Sin blinds. It's always blinded. And what a challenge to extend grace. Matthew 5:44 this week. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies. I found that when I start praying for people, listen to this. When you start praying for a person, it is hard to be bitter at them. Did you know when you start praying, you try it. Start praying for the worst person in your life. Start praying for them. God, I don't know what they're going through. God, I don't know their life. God, would you start? And when you start praying, you'll be amazed what happens to your heart. It is impossible to be bitter when you are interceding for someone. And instead of telling, you know, other people what happened, pray. Instead of trying to get a sympathy turnaround, a group of people around you and tell your side of the story and what's going on and why, just pray. Just get it. Pray for them. When you pray for them, God shows you why they are what they are many times. And when you pray for them, God shows you the grace that you received. God reminds you of what you did. And God, and then you able to give it. I remember a buddy of mine was in Popeye's chicken place. And there was an old gentleman in front of him. And this gentleman, when he went up there, was a young girl. They were training her. You know how that is. And he was in a hurry. And he started shouting at this girl. And he was just, just spewing off. And the girl got more and more, upset and messed up on the payment and had to redo the payment. And he's just scolding her and saying all this. And why are you so slow? And he goes out the door. And my buddy said he was up next line. He said, all of a sudden, this guy comes roaring back in the door. You left off my biscuits. Where are my biscuits? And just screaming at the top of his lungs. Well, you know what everybody's doing. Everybody's, starting to say things and get involved in all that. And he said, I'll never forget, he said, I got my order. You know, the guy got his biscuits, went back out. He got his order, and he went back out the door. And there was that old guy in an old, dirty pickup truck, you could tell. And he could tell by the looks, his grandchildren was in the back of that truck. And there was like four or five of these grandchildren he was feeding. It looks like he had taken, undoubtedly something had occurred, and he was now, being responsible for taking care of these grandkids. And some of them were crying, this and that. And sometimes, until you know the whole story, you just never know. And that's why some of the difficult people you're dealing with, you don't have a clue what's going on in their life. You don't have a clue. Some people are just mean. They're just mean, and that's just the way they are. But you don't know why. One time I did a sermon back in the 70s, and in this auditorium, can you imagine? And I was young in the ministry. I didn't know better, but I said, I just feel like today what we're going to do is, if somebody in this place has offended you, I want you to go and ask them to forgive you. There was one guy that must have had 25 people in line waiting to talk to him. That is no preacher exaggeration. He must have 25 people in line to talk to him. I said, well, I won't do that again. That's not a smart thing to do. But I knew this guy. I knew his background. And I knew that his dad used to punch him in the mouth and just smack him around on and on and on. And, so do that. So number six is do this. Why don't you live redemptively? Won't you think and see yourself as an ambassador of the Most High God? And never know if that person that you're dealing with, like the Apostle Paul that was killing people, that might be the person that you might be the very thing that God's going to use to redeem that person. Because, everybody can react and get mad and retaliate and anger and all that stuff. But when you sit there and you patiently endure, and you rise above it, and you don't retaliate. You ever thought about you might be the ambassador God's going to use to show that person what Jesus is really like? And I love this because Ephesians 4:32 says, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Today, I choose to forgive. You never have to forgive anyone more than I have forgiven you, the Lord says. Did you hear that? You don't have to forgive anybody this coming week more than the Lord had to forgive you. I love what this is saying here. You ought to write this one down. Don't close your arms to others when I've extended my arms to you. Don't close your arms to others when I've extended my arms to you. How do you deal with difficult people? You walk in forgiveness and you live in freedom. Everybody say amen today. Okay, you got a great week coming up, and I bless you with difficult people this week. I pray starting tomorrow morning, difficult people will come into your life. Lord, bless them with difficult people. Oh, God, bless them. Because you know what? That's homework. I'm giving homework out right now. That's going to be homework. And you're going to have homework tomorrow. And when it happens, do not curse my name. Come on, somebody. Right, 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 right. But I just felt the Lord's going to give you difficult people this week to deal with. And you're not going to have time. I better go look at that podcast one more time. It'll be on the line. But I would just say this, better caught than taught, and prepare yourself before. I would encourage you. I'd encourage you tomorrow morning, get up a little bit early and get ready, get pray and ask the Lord. And maybe you're here today. And you know, one of the keys is we talked about, and now I'm going to end with this. We talked about, mercy, and you may be here today and you may not really know God, and you don't feel like you deserve to know God. But that's what mercy is about. Mercy is when you are guilty and you don't deserve what you're about to get. Justice now is you get what you deserve. But mercy, we serve a God that is merciful. And that is that when you call upon him, he is merciful. Yeah, come on. He is merciful to you. And I want you to bow your heads. Would you just close your eyes and just for a minute. And I want to ask you, if you're here this morning and you're not, you really don't know God and you want to know God, can I tell you that there's nothing you can do to merit or to deserve what God wants to do for you right now? Not tomorrow, not the next day, not next year. I mean, right now. God wants to do right now. And what God wants to do is he wants to show you mercy. On the cross, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. And right now, that was a prayer for you, because we were all part of what happened to Jesus, sin. And Jesus came to deal with that. And in your life, God wants to do that in your life. God wants to deal with that in your life. And he loves you more than you've ever been loved. Maybe you didn't have a good father or a good mother, but I'm going to tell you, he is. And the Bible says he's a good father. Maybe when we sang this today, you didn't really relate to that song, because, you know, you don't. But I'm going to tell you, he will teach you what a good father is. And this morning, he has called you to himself. You know that thing you feel on the inside right now, that stirring? You don't know. I don't know how to describe it, but you just feel uneasy. You feel something. You don't know what it is. That is the Spirit of God calling you. That is the Spirit of God dealing with your life. That is God himself. There is a God. There is a God. And he loves you beyond what words. He loved you so much that he gave his only. He gave up the very best of heaven for you. Not that you deserved it, because he's merciful and he's loving. So maybe that's you here. And I want you to do this morning. I want everybody to pray with me. If you want God to do that in your life, I want you to pray it with me right now. I just want you to pray it. And we're going to pray with you. Everybody pray with you. So everybody pray with me, and we'll help you pray. Maybe you don't pray much and you don't know how you're supposed to pray. We're going to help you. And so everybody pray with me. Say, dear God, I feel you this morning. I don't understand it, but there's something happening in me. I want to be saved. Forgive me of all I've done wrong. Thank you for paying the price for me. Thank you for dying on a cross and paying my penalty. But thank you for rising from the dead. And so this morning I ask you into my life. I surrender all. Come and live in me. I ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen today. Can you give the Lord a good clap offering today? Would you do that? All right. God bless you. Go have a good week with difficult people. The Lord bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.